I was, you know, thinking of a message I was hoping to give you guys sometime on parenting, and I'm watching all these kids run around, and I thought, and I talked with John. He goes, "No, Ed, I would like you." I told him about a message I'd just done, and Jane's going to get a duplicate here. She's been under this before, and he goes, "Ed, do that." And I think the message that I'll share with you is probably one of the most humbling and I don't know if you can get harder hit than this. So I don't know what that means of John going, "No, you got to get my people with it." But I think it is powerful for all of us. So hope it ministers to you. But what I'd like to do, I'd like to pray, and I'll begin. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time, and I'm in the midst of a lot of distractions on my head, and I pray that you would just focus us now, an opportunity just to hear from you, from your word, and I pray that you would work in our lives, and that it would indeed not just be something that we're hearing, but something that we're doing as well. And use it, Father, and I pray that you use it in my life. I pray that you use it in the lives of these folks here, that you are indeed God, and you're worthy to be followed, and not nothing else is worthy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read a passage that is pretty well known. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it was, when Solomon was about ready to build the temple. And he was talking about how this is going to be a place where people have a chance to come. And he says, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land." And you think of this in regards to the healing of the land and what God desires to do. And we often pray for revival. I know, boy, we're looking for God to impact Santa Rosa and the fire that's happened and wanting to have impact in our communities. I want to just, what does God do in order to really bring healing in people's lives and to see revival? And I find there's a prep work that he wants us to do. And some of the things that I want to share is from Encounter that were just some life-changing words to me. But one of the things that was mentioned, he says, "Have you ever met people who touch heaven but also change earth?" And there's a lot of people touching heaven, but there's, boy, just kind of a limited number that really, that when they touch heaven in such a way that they just bring absolute change to the world and change to earth. And when you think of people like that, I'm going to open it up to you. Who comes to your mind when you think of, boy, people, men and women of God who touch heaven and they changed earth? Who comes to your mind?
I would say intercessors prayers.
Ooh, okay, yeah, a lot of praying people who are just beseeching God. Good. Anybody else come to your mind? Who do you think of when people touch heaven, change earth?
Billy Graham,
you know, it was interesting. It's just within the last month, I guess, when he passed away. But when you think of, and you know, that began with a prayer service on his dad or his grandfather's farm. And they were asking God to raise up somebody that would touch the world. And he was just a little boy at that time, and God raised him up. And the man spoke to 250 million people. Which I think is, I mean, I guess we're a little bigger than that now as a nation, but that's like every person in the United States. Wow, isn't that amazing? Yeah, Billy Graham. Anybody else? Martin Luther, boy. Yeah. Touched heaven, changed earth. You know, we just got done with St. Patrick's Day. Do you know the story of St. Patrick? You know, he was not Irish. He was English that was captured and was a slave in Ireland, and later went back as a missionary because God just broke his heart, and he just went, and he started 300 churches and transformed Ireland. Probably the greatest missionary we've ever seen. And, March 17th was not his birthday. That was the day of his death, and just transformed the world. And you think of these people, you know, that, man, that touched heaven, but they changed earth. And let me ask you, is it you? You know, you touching heaven, but are you changing earth? And I find this, you know, when you look around us and you go, is this what it's supposed to be like? Like when you look at most Christians, and it can be me, it can be you, man, I'm having a hard time touching my family. I'm having a hard time letting this God even touch me, to change me. And you think of our churches, you know, touching heaven, but man, if we're thinking we're impacting Santa Rosa or people around us, and you go, how come we're not having the impact that we're thinking God really wants to have? What short circuits there? And I find there's a lot of prep work that God wants to do in us. How do we become these type of people? And you notice the idea in the sermon, the outline here is like to be people that touch heaven but also change earth, how important it is. And, you know, to really ask for revival. And I find there's a lot of prep work and some of the stuff that's a part of why is this not happening? And the idea, you know, we need to touch heaven and also change earth. And I'd gone to the encounter group, you know, and John was there. I guess you were just last section with a whole week or
just the last day.
Just the last day. And some of the things that were shared there, and give you a little background on that. I remember I was going through the struggle. Last 10 years of my life have been hard years. And I was talking with a good friend of mine who's back east, and he had mentioned this book called Soul Care, Dr. Reimer. And several things he said just resonated. I began to do work, and I worked through my own stuff in my own life, and I got through about different phases of my life up to age 45, and I kind of lost momentum, but it was incredibly helpful. And then I find who's coming to the encounter group is Dr. Reimer. And he wrote a book called Soul Care, and he came and he shared a lot of things with us. And when God has way of reconfirming truth, when you hear truth, God will reconfirm it. And when somebody comes back and hits me with something twice, I always tune in saying, God, what are you doing here? And I remember the things that were shared at this encounter group just resonated with my soul. And I want to share it with you, and I hope it means as much to you as it did to me, and I am convinced it's like a whole nother view, a perspective and a deeper level of what God wants to do and how he preps us to be these type of people. That we not only touch heaven, but we change lives, and people get the ability for the revival spirit of God just to come in and transform them. So much of this is coming from that. And one of the things that Dr. Reimer had mentioned, he said, you know, we all have dirty laundry. And, you know, he was out with, you know, seeing us, and he says, if I went home and I just left the dirty laundry in my luggage, and I went to the next trip, you know, and you go to pack your bags again, you don't have as much room in the if you just left your dirty laundry in there, you're not going to be able to bring the clean laundry with you. And you'll notice point number one, you know, we got to clean out, you know, the dirty laundry. And he mentioned this, you know, how come that when you look at people's lives, he goes, like, when we talk about the fullness of God, how come it doesn't really seem that they're that full? He goes, you know why? We're carrying around dirty laundry. And he said, you know, I was pastoring a church. I was successful, and people were getting saved, and everything was happening the way it's supposed to happen. He says, there's only one problem. He said, my wife didn't like me. And I'm resonating with that because, you know, the last 10 years, my wife hasn't liked me either. And I haven't been all that thrilled with her. And you go, man, what is this? Is this the fullness of God? This is the way it's supposed to be? And you find that God wants to deal with your laundry. And if you're going to feel and experience the fullness of God, you know, he's gonna mess with your baggage. And to say, okay, God, can you come in? Can you do this work inside of me? And story was shared of Moses. When you think of this, like what happens for God to do to deal with this? And it's God allowing God to have access to you. And let me ask you, have you allowed that? The light of God to come in and just shed the spotlight into your soul. The courageous moral inventory. Let him look. And he talked about Moses. He said Moses was called to do a pastor's job. He had to bring a people who didn't want to leave to a land where they didn't want him to come, to do a job nobody wanted him to do. And I go, man, that's the job of a pastor, isn't it? And he's got called in to do that. And you know, Moses' response, hey, you know, send somebody else. I don't have that in me. I mean, he's a slave that was brought into Egypt and you know, gets the opportunity to live with the Egyptians, and I'm sure he got a lot of people saying, oh, you're just an Israelite, da 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 da, and he had his own stuff. He gets mad, he kills people. And God says, well, you gonna go with me? You know, we're gonna take these people, and man, he's gonna bring these people out. He's really hesitant. The only thing that God told him, what did God tell him? I will be with you. Access. God's gonna be there. And here's Moses, and just the reluctant leader, and he begins to lead the people out of Israel, and that whole story. But what happens was God was with him, and God, okay, God, you're in this, and you just fumble along. But God comes. And what happened in the midst of all those experiences that Moses went through is that he experienced God, and that God was real, and you're in relationship with him as he does his work. And it's interesting, later on, if you remember, people didn't do that well. They go off in their immorality stuff, and God gave them an option. Don't you wish you had this option as a pastor? God said this, I want to kill them all and start over with you. You know, how would John Mays vote? You know, what an option. And do you remember what Moses said? He said, what would that do, God, to your reputation? And what happened, the access of God that began in Moses' life, when you walk with God and you see God, and God, he said, he was, you know, a friend of God, that they spoke face to face. And suddenly that impact of God on Moses began to be permeating his life. Let me ask you, has it happened with you? Where you've allowed God just have access to the deepest parts of your soul, where he just begins to change you? How do you know? You know how you know? What are your secrets? The secrets that you keep destroy you always, every time. You know, and what are the things we just want to keep down? And they destroy our lives. We want the light of God to come in. I don't know about you. I just want to be the light to be enough so I could still be impressive. People still like me, still look up to me. But there's stuff they just better, you know. Have you just got rid of all the secrets? They're destroying you. And how important that is. And let me ask you, when you think of secrets, the things that nobody knows but you, and it's not just you, it's God. And God says, you know what? I want access. Would you give me access? And I want you to think of all the things that you've gone through, the struggles, the battles, and the things that have created all this struggles in you that you just keep hidden. If nobody knows, it won't hurt. And all the other lies that you've chosen to believe. And the only way you deal with those secrets is you've got to allow God access. You know, the quote was said, you want to die with other people's secrets. You don't need to share those. But never die with your own.